safety committee meeting to the order. Just go around and say who's here.
Steve Almond.
Sean.
Go ahead.
Sean Christensen.
Frank Hansen.
Larry Cruz.
Jim Felt.
Kelsey Del Bosque.
Tim Johnson, substituting for Ron Christensen.
Audrey Nelson.
Mark Kelvin.
Veronica Collins.
Thank you. First item is public comment. Is there anyone here who wishes to make a comment? Okay, hearing none, we will move on to police and fire updates. Who wants to go first?
You first.
You can if you want, Frank.
All right, the police or the fire update for the last 2 weeks. We've had 14 calls. Of the 14 calls, 8 were alarms, 2 car crashes, 1 car fire, which turned into a small building fire, 2 elevator rescues, and 1 weather watch. Little bit of information. Our response time from dispatch to en route, so basically dispatch our page to leaving the fire station in May was 3 minutes and 22 seconds, and in April was 3 minutes and 20 seconds. Year-to-date fire calls for 2016 are 128, and for 2015 they were 140, so we're 12 calls less than last year.
All right. Members of the council, for the police update here, the jail census as of today was 106 inmates. Of those, 67 were Candiota County, 35 from the Department of Corrections, 2 from Stevens, 1 from Big Stone, and 1 from Swift County. Our calls for service over the last 2 week time period were 912 calls for service. Typical list here, number 1 was traffic stops, followed by public assists, and this time number 3 was animal complaints. So far this year we've had 8,041 calls for service as of a few minutes ago, and we're running 11 days ahead of last year according to our calls for service.
Alright, thank you. Any questions? Alright, hearing none, we will move on to item number 4, which is CenterPoint Community Partnership Award.
All right, members of the committee, that's me also.
All right.
Just wanted to make the committee aware here that the CenterPoint Energy has awarded the City of Willmar $2,500 towards the police department for replacement AEDs, or the automated external defibrillators. This is similar to the award that they gave us last year. They do request that the recipient match the funds for the safety equipment we had already budgeted for replacement AEDs, so this does not negatively impact us. It's kind of a buy two get one kind of thing with this award. So they are going to be, with your permission, scheduling a future council meeting to make the presentation like they did last year.
Okay, sounds great.
Need a motion to approve, please.
All right. Would you like to second?
Second.
All right. Thank you. We have a motion and a second to request acceptance of the $2,500 CenterPoint Community Partnership Award for automated external defibrillators for the Willmar Police Department. Any questions, discussion?
One question. How often are these replaced? What's the useful life of these?
Just we're replacing the ones we had now that range anywhere from about 12 years old to 14 years old, so they do have a lengthy lifespan. It's just the ones we have are no longer manufactured, and they didn't have the software updates and that type of thing.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Any other questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Should we skip down to the next one? And
probably, yeah.
All right. We'll move to item number 6, which is the project number 1401 final.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The that is not a typo. It is project 1401. Final payment for Gorton Avenue and 9th Street Northwest project that was done a couple years ago. And the bottom line is that it is roughly just under $100,000 under budget with this final payment of
$127,985.34. Recommendation would be to accept the project and authorize final payment to Dunick Inc.
Also, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to accept the project and authorize final payment to Dunick Inc. in the amount of $127,985.34 for project number 1401. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Oppose? All right, let's do the last one here and then we'll go back to item number five.
Madam Chair, project number 1601 is a change order number one. 1601 is our reconstruction, street reconstruction projects. And after the time the bids were received and reviewed, the 22nd Street Southwest had a portion of waterline breaks, had a number of waterline breaks in within one block that caused major damage to a section of that street. And so this change order, the amount of $42,475.60, would be added to project number 1601 in order to repair that section of street as well.
All right. Questions?
Sean, is that the entire street? Well, how many feet approximately was that?
This section would be a block, so it's just from 19th Avenue south to 20th. Okay. So 400 feet, whatever a block is in that part of town.
And the estimated cost is in line with what other charity is that?
Right. We took the bid documents from contractor and asked if they would extend those volumes or amounts, and that's how we came up with that dollar amount.
Also move that we approve.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second to approve change order number one in the amount of $42,475.60 for project number 1601. Any other questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you.
All right. So now we will go back to Robbins Island discussion.
Just in time, Dave.
Sorry I'm late. All right.
We asked if you wanted one of us to present, and neither of us wanted to, so we thought we'd have to.
You would be better at it. Thank you for allowing me some time on the agenda today. Sorry, I'm a few minutes late. I just got back from St. Paul, and I just wanted to give you a kind of a concept of an idea that we're having that I've shared with most members on the council, and I think we've got a pretty darn terrific team put together right now for this thing, and that is,
you're fine.
I'll just sit a little closer, but yeah, Robbins Island, thanks for bringing it up, Sean.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Vision 2040 has been talking about a lot of things, and with the recent, about the year ago, I suppose, Steve Brezadine and has been working really closely with a designer and obviously the regional park discussions and a lot of different things. I've been very involved in the Spicer Playground project way back in Spicer 10 years ago. I think it's actually coming up on its 10-year anniversary this year. And I've been wanting to do something there for a long time, and I think now the time is right where the city is ready, because you're really getting some focus on the Robbins Island with a lot of different town halls and different conversations going on around the community. There's people that want to do many different things there. We've heard things about a soccer field, an amphitheater, just different things. And because it's been my dream for a lot of years that I wanted to always do what we did in Spicer here. And so I've brought together a number of people. And we've got an amazing team that is ready to kind of jump in and do some serious stuff here. And I think that visiting with the mayor and each one of the council members kind of one-on-one, we would like to present tonight at least a very high-level overview stuff, because we don't have a lot of details, a lot of pictures. I'm not going to really get into that yet because I don't have a lot of it pulled together yet. But we'd like to work with a company called Leathers and Associates, and they will work along with like landscape structures. And so they work with different groups that bring in components to have a locally designed park, playground, specific at Robbins Island, which, you know, we haven't really identified exactly the right place yet, but we're talking about a 15 to 20,000 square foot playground area, kind of encompassed with fencing.
Pickets,
thank you. So a lot of pickets will go around, kind of again, like we've seen in Spicer. Very community build. We anticipate wanting to do this in May or June of next year, so we have a year to put this all together. I think that I have a team and a community level that we could probably raise $700,000-$800,000 from all private funds, from grants, from foundations to businesses. These pickets, we sell the pickets with your name on it, is what happens, is what, again, it was similar to what we did up in Spicer. So our goal is to raise several hundred thousand dollars to build this amazing playground at Robbins Island, and we would like sort of the city commitment to kind of give us that footprint, if you would, that we could work with, that we all can agree on, and then the city would take over long-term maintenance. So at this point, we're sort of asking for a blessing to kind of move to the next level, which might be going to the full council. We would have the pictures. We'd have some much better things to show you at that point. Our committee is growing stronger with different components. We're sort of hand-inviting people in right now. We're just kind of now getting around to the folks that may be some contractors or some building team captains that can actually live on the site for a week once we start building it. We need about 10 site captains. We need, you know, we'll have 100 plus volunteers every day for about 10 days on this build a year from now. So, and Leathers helps us organize all those things. We'll have to have just a lot of in-kind work. We'll have a lot of cash donations. We have a similar concept like we've done with the iPad project, is we'll have a fund at the community foundation, the Wilmer Area Community Foundation, so that if Sean wants to write a check out for the playground concept, he would write a check out to the foundation and he would identify it as Friends of Robbins Island, or it's maybe specifically to the playground account. We're still working on those little details right now. But so that the money would be funneled through there, and then at some point what we had hoped is that the city would sort of, we'll get all the agreements and how this works, but when the city maybe will be our fiscal agent to kind of write the checks when they need to be written to the vendors when we're buying the equipment, then they'll take a draw against the foundation account, similar to what the school district did when they had the iPads paid for. So the $400,000 that we raised for iPads, and we raised that money in about 6 or 7 months. I think with the people that have really stepped up to be one of our, on the steering committee, our fundraising efforts, you know, we think $800,000 is not going to be out of line for a playground. I just think this is a lot easier sell, quite honestly, than I think iPads were. So talking to Leathers and Associates, again, they're a company that does this all around the nation. They bring in their people that help us actually physically do the build, the designing ahead of time, the pre-design, they do the pre-construction meetings, and they really work with all the components in the community so that when we are ready to start building, we've got the holes already pre-dug, the poles are in place, people start showing up, all the tent is in place, the materials are on site, the tools have been borrowed by folks that want to let us use tools. But everything is all set up, and they have a very thick manual that they use. This is actually the one that we used for Spicer. So this is a chalked up one, but this is what you get when you do a playground from Leathers. It talks everything from how to fundraise, who to get on your committees, how do you feed your volunteers every day. Everything is here, and they're an amazing company to work with. And, you know, I guess if we raise our $800,000, they probably get $30,000 to $40,000 for their work. But they make a lot of trips here. They have folks that basically live here the last week or 2 weeks. We have to find hotel rooms to put them up in. But those are all part of this great process that I completely became a believer when I spent a week at the Spicer Playground. And I know you've probably heard of other ones around the state, around our area, that have had some really neat ones. So this is one that we kind of want to do. And again, it's it'll be designed by our local kids. We think that we'll be able to, this summer, work with the summer school programs and have the 5th and 6th graders kind of help us with what they want to design. And then Leathers come in and they help us with all those kind of things, and just to sort of get the process in place. But we've got some folks ready to actually write checks already. We'd like to make a presentation kind of at this arena at the next city council meeting. I think we're going to try to get on the June 20th meeting agenda. And we'd like to have that sort of in place so that we can start this officially, start the account, start the hoopla and the excitement, and then we'll start having a timeline of our, you know, community meetings and what's going to happen, what will the community start looking like as far as how does the design process work. We'll have a big unveiling of the playground in Robbins Island actually like this fall in September. September, October, we'll have a big meeting and we'll kind of re-invite the families and the kids and show them what they actually designed. And then we start finalizing fundraising. I mean, again, I hope that we were done fundraising by, you know, December, January of this year for this and get that behind us. And then we'll start getting all of our players in place. Everything, again, from hospitality, food, contractors, landscapers, concrete work. All those things have to come together later on. And so I just wanted to get an initial read from the city officials. Things that I want to make sure that we're ready for when we go in front of the city council. Again, I've been working closely with the mayor and Steve Brezidine about their current work on the playground. This is a much larger playground than I think that they were initially anticipating on the park plan. But I don't think anybody has said that's going to be a problem, especially if we're going to be able to raise this money for the community. So that's just a real high-level overview. Again, I think we've got an amazing team that would like to really get started on this kind of a thing. We'll have a lot of people at the next council meeting there. And I guess I stand for questions, Mr. Chair, and Madam Chair, if there's any other questions you have for tonight. I'm hoping that we can sort of be recommended for a spot on the council and for more discussion, and I guess I'll just take questions. I'm making it kind of brief, but would love to answer more questions.
Questions?
Well, thanks, Steve. I appreciate the phone call. It was maybe more than a couple months ago.
Yeah, it's been about 6 weeks, I suppose. Yeah.
You've been busy.
Well, I checked out for the last couple weeks, and so
I knew that.
We're not, but and I know this sounds, and what I think the one thing that I'm nervous that people think, what is this idiot doing now? Because, but I think timing is everything. I didn't, you know, I guess if we weren't at where we're at with 2040 and the park plan, I wouldn't be sitting here today, because I do have a busy summer coming up as well. But I really think that the only reason I'm doing this is because I've had a few of my members say, this is the time we have to do this. And you sort of have a window of time, I think, in our community for raising money. I think some projects are kind of wrapping up their fundraising. Some might be coming later on. But I think right now, with our community, as diverse as it is, and with a lot of different moving things, this building a playground together might be the greatest thing that we've ever seen, I think. And having an announcement and having a ribbon cutting at next year's WilmerFest in 2017 will be a fireworks. It'll be a big celebration. And to have a 15,000 plus square foot, all handicap, all accessible, all inclusive playground for all kids and handicaps and all levels, I think will be pretty amazing. And we've got some really nice photos to show you soon. The committee actually hasn't formally wrapped up our agreement with Leathers. I'm meeting with Joy Baker tomorrow morning, who's been working really hard with the Rotary community, and they're raising money for the Friends at Robbins Island, so I'll be meeting with Joy tomorrow morning. We want to make sure our groups are all working one hand in hand. But this will be a long process to kind of get things fired up, and we're going to have very organized committees, structures, and fundraising, and the site build, and working with the designers, and going to the schools. And so I think we're going to have a very robust community of organizers and volunteers that really want to take this thing seriously. We've got a lot of young parents that are on this committee. They obviously can see a quick payback with their kids. So I think this is going to be a very exciting project our community will love to see. So,
well, Dave, you mentioned, how long has this committee been formed?
This committee's been formed literally about maybe a month before I called you, and before I called Tim, and before I called Audrey. I think it was more of just when Mike Nagin is the one of the also one of the members that's going to be a strong leader in this project. And he said, I think, yeah, we've got some people that want to do this. He was visiting with some, I think, folks on the next committee. And so when those kind of came forward, and then with some of my thinking of what I kind of was always dreaming about there, and with the 2040 visioning and the park plan that I kept hearing so much about, I just thought, well, boy, if we don't do this now, if the designing gets too far down the road, my idea would be, you know, not going to happen here. So I thought, well, now is the time to talk with at least Steve and the mayor, who I did initially, to say, is it too late to talk about that? And it wasn't. So the committee has really only been going, Steve, for really about 2-3 months at the most. We've had about 3 meetings, 4 meetings. Is that about right, Mayor? You've been on it since the beginning?
I think we've been.
About 3 meetings? Okay. So it's very, very early.
I had one other meeting.
Pretty early.
Would you like to comment? Or I'll go ahead.
No, I'm fine.
Okay. I just was going to comment that early on in Vision 2040 under Goal 3, you were at the table individually, and I wanted to clarify, you're listed on our agenda as Representative Dave Baker, but I know you're working on this as a personal item. So
right.
I think we need to identify that it doesn't have your title attached to it. But
right.
You've been at the table since the early Vision 2040 meetings asking to do a destination playground. And just like the other projects were put on hold while the park study was being done, this was one that you said, I'll come back when you're ready to do it, kind of comment. So when you asked about the time frame, that's over 2 years ago.
Yeah.
At least.
And there was never anything put together then.
No,
but, yeah.
But not at that. Just the concept that when ready, that you were willing to work on it like you did on the one in Spicer. So I think that's important to recognize that this has been something that you've been wanting to do for a while with that.
Correct.
So do you want to change, I mean, we can tweak that agenda, remove the word representative.
Yes.
Do you want just your name? Do you want Friends of Robbins Island and Dave Baker? Do you want
just for now, I think just Dave Baker, and I'll have a full committee. We don't have a name of the committee or anything yet. So just, yeah, I'm just a citizen right now, just honestly wanting to see something like that happen at Robbins Island.
Okay.
So just Dave is fine, Dave Baker.
The concern I have with serving on the park plan, and you and I talked about it, I think, before too, is how does this fit into where the location that you want to be at, how does it fit in to the park plan, and have you, it's my understanding, I think, that you've met with someone regarding that, with, you know, the location versus where it was actually being talked about in the park plan.
Good, yeah, good point. Sean, are you able to pull that, are you able to zoom that up, that picture? So our idea was, ideally, my initial dream or focus would be, I see this Spicer Playground times 4. So imagine a very large one with nice lights at night, and I see benches and some broadband for folks sitting around with their little laptops or their iPads, and I kind of wanted to see it initially where one of those two parking lots are right in the center there. As those are going to come out anyway and get redone, somewhere fairly closer to the highway, not too close, you know, near the beaches, I don't think a bad idea, but again, you know, the pickets will be all around it for safety and there's other components. But if you want to move the screen down a little bit too so I can see a little higher, I know the original park playground, I think, was up in the hills a little bit there, right at the bend. Yeah, right in there, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
So it would be trying to find it where somewhere if we can get it a little closer to the road, Audrey. Mostly it's not because the other space isn't good. Using the hills a little bit is okay. What I've learned from Spicer and others is that when there's too many trees, it becomes kind of a cleanup issue, and some sunshine is better than not enough sunshine. I know shade is important for families and playground stuff, but I think for me anyway, and that was just my idea, having that visual on the 4-lane highway there is really important for our community. Now, there's been no decision on where this blade is going to go, and we've not walked it off yet. But when we met with the designers,
SRF,
a few weeks ago, when Marv and Steve came down to Plymouth, I met with them then one morning when I was there. And so it's still all much in the air about where this will go. It didn't sound like anything that we were talking about between where I was talking about, between there and the current location was really a major component. I don't think anything's going to be a major deal breaker, but my hope would be the city would see a value in moving it as close as we can without changing the outlook of what your plans were. So my recommendation would be that we still figure that out with a kind of a gateway to the community, to a real focal point. Again, I just see it as a beautiful lit up thing in the evenings and just something that we can all not just tuck away too much. That was kind of my idea, Audrey.
Okay.
So very, nothing's been decided at all.
Second concern that I had, and I've asked for a meeting a long time ago, for us to have our protocol in place to accept the donations and not to encumber that. To my knowledge, we have not done that. I've been told that we have protocols in place, but I don't believe they're out there on the website. I know you've been working hard on it. Is there anything we need to do from a financial standpoint? Does the finance committee need to meet to make sure that we are prepared to accept the donations with how it needs to take place for the city? And I think further clarify for the businesses who want to donate that clarification of the intent. And that was something I hoped that we would have had in place, because I knew there were issues with some of the other projects that were being brought up. So I'm just curious if that's anything that you want to see us do in your working with the foundation for us to be able to receive those appropriately.
I think, Madam Chair, that would be something that Sarah Carlson would be very involved with your protocol issues that you have. It's certainly above my pay grade for what they need, what you need. I would say between, you know, the city here and the foundation, I'm sure they've done this kind of thing before, but that would be something that we would hope that the city and the foundation could set that up as they need to for this kind of thing. So we don't have that answer for you.
Okay.
So.
Confused about, I know, it's a great idea. It's fantastic. Talk about putting it together and volunteerism and the cost, maintenance. We're going to have to budget for maintenance. We should know what the costs are going to be for operational of that place, whether or not it's going to require any staff time, so that we can deal with it in the budget. Is that something we could probably do? Or get some preliminary figures, estimates of what it might cost, so we're aware of what additional cost it's going to be. I think that's only prudent, as it'll probably have to be included in the budget for next year. I'm sure maybe you're aware of that. Have you ran any numbers, or have you talked about staffing, or what type of facility this is going to be? It may require some people to staff it. I'm not sure, or is it going to be?
The plan that I've seen and I've heard, there should be no staffing involved.
Okay.
A lot of it will depend on what kind of a base we put in it. We're planning on putting a rubberized cement. So that would make a lot less money for following mulch down the road. But there might be a combination of mulch and concrete. So I think a lot of those numbers will come as we get further down the road with designing this thing. And we're hoping that we actually can have a couple of people from the Public Works Department on our committee so they can actually see what's being developed. The part about Leathers and Associates is that what I learned, I was a materials chairperson of the Spicer project. There are only certain places you can buy these materials around the country because they are so specific on the quality of materials you can use on your park. You can't use galvanized screws. You have to use stainless steel screws. You have to use a certain kind of paint. You have to use a certain kind of board. You can't use green treated wood. You have to use certain things that are made for 40-year length of time so that this does not become a maintenance nightmare for anyone. So until we kind of get down that road a little bit more, Steve, I think it certainly should be something that we're asking in long-term budgeting for maintenance. And I think someone in Spicer might be a good example of who can you talk to about what was it like. And I think I've mentioned it to Leslie out there, and I think it's $3,000 to $5,000 every couple of years. But now they have to replace their mulch every 2-3 years. Even though that mulch was very specialized mulch, it wasn't just local cedar stuff. It's an anti-fungal, anti-molding, but I think that they replace it every couple of years. So the less that we do up front, the better off it'll be. So I don't have any numbers, but we're hoping that maybe in 6 months, once we see the final design, maybe we'll be able to get a lot better idea.
I have one other question. Years ago, maybe you may recall this, maybe not, the area further off to Foot Lake, up to the right, right straight down where the parking ramp is for the boat landing, right there. Yeah, mm-hmm. There was time, talking about a regional park, and I think it's great. Great if it was a county park. There's probably enough room there to attract a lot of people. Because there is nothing like that in the county as far as a large county park. And I endorse the idea. But there was one time there was a park. I think Doug Reese was helpful in trying to get a group of people together to put RV camping in. And I'm just wondering, has that ever been discussed with the park? Well, it sounds like a lot of work's been done before, discussion. I mean, things have been put in place without a lot of the council's knowledge of how this was going to go down. But as far as the discussion on the RV park, I just want to make sure that we're not going to try to squeeze that in too. My concern also is that it'd be beautiful, and that's, I have no problem with that idea, but the overall plan is going to have to be approved by the full city council. And it sounds like a lot of the groundwork's already been played and made, and I'm a little concerned about that, although it shouldn't be a problem. It's just a matter of understanding it. The overall theme is good. I'm just, what kind of an atmosphere are we trying to create at this park? You know, if people think of, like Rice Park, for example, or even this park, and a regional park, we think of a park some people think of as a great wide open area, lots of paths, lots of trees, lots of benches, and quiet areas with minimal disruptions, and minimal noise, and minimal activity for R&R. And I don't know what kind of atmosphere we're trying to create here, but I do agree with you that if you're going to do anything, I would keep it to this side, because it leaves us a lot more room to expand and do other things with the rest.
Well, and I think too, Steve, coming to the park planners early on gives you that sense of controlling what you want there. Mm-hmm. You know, a playground of this size, there would hopefully be 50 to 100 kids almost all the time on this playground. And there's going to be noise and screaming and yelling. So I think whatever the rest of the plan is, I have no idea. The only thing I'm focused on is a playground.
Okay.
I have no idea what other ideas the park has, and I don't know anything else. We want to be very laser focused on just the playground, but we want to make sure it fits your plan. And so, you know, when Leathers comes to town eventually, they're going to ask us a couple questions like, what kind of a theme do you want to have? Well, I've said we're a railroad town. We're also kind of a lakey community. So they may give us a theme if it's a railroad theme, and they'll kind of build components that fit that, whether it's a train and different things. But that'll also be something that we want to make sure the city and the community is very appreciative of, and actually kind of will endorse it as well. I think a lot of our history should go into this. So it's got to be the right thought and feeling about those kind of things. So when we get closer to that, we'll be looking for some insight from the council. We don't want to get the council too involved in the deep in the weeds, but we want to do the overall to make sure it still fits the park plan. So, but we're just really, really laser focused on just that square foot.
One other question. As far as safety, you're saying an estimate of 100, 150 children out there. You know, it's all accessible by bus or by vehicles. There's no bicycle traffic out there unless you take the other route. My concern is this is going to be a regional park, should be accessible from all areas. Coming from the opposite side of the road, where the senior center is at one time, there was concerns about traffic, and we have now pulled and don't have a lot of lifeguards out at that Robbins Island area because of usage. A lot of people aren't using that facility as much, and hopefully that will continue and it'll change. As far as getting pedestrian traffic from one side to the other, this is the time to address it. We could do it afterwards based on usage, but the accessibility for the pedestrians is something I'm concerned about. I just wanted to bring that up right now. Sean, you can probably address it. It's been talked about before. There was talk about putting a bridge, walkover bridge, connecting that side from Sperryville over to Robbins Island. That was back in the early or late 80s, and it was an issue of expenses, as usual.
Yeah, sure, sure.
But it's something we could talk about, too.
I do think the park plan actually addresses that in the design, and I think there were actually the road being moved and some different things, so I think that probably comes back to the park plan as it was put together. So.
Yeah, but not on this side. It's all on the other side as far as access.
The entrance and exits, I think, were being looked at being changed.
Right.
So, I think it'd be great for you to come to the city council. Do we need to take any action or just accept that you will plan to be there on the second meeting?
You know, again, my communication with Chair Christensen was just really to present it tonight, to go through the committee process. I think he's very much endorsed this concept as well, and knew that I would be here tonight. And so I think that if we could just have a spot on the agenda then, and hopefully we'll get your support. I wouldn't want to go there if there's a number of concerns that I want to make sure we address. So we want to go there with the outlook of hopefully getting a very strong support for this with a vote, and the commitment that yes, you can have the footprint that we can, I think, try to get closer to before you do that. And I'm not saying that we can't, you know, have to have some kind of a document. We just want to make sure that the footprint that we can all live with is in that general vicinity, and will the city take over long-term maintenance? Those are the really two components that we're looking for. And then we'll get busy raising the money. But we need to have that in place and very firm agreement for us to really get forward and move forward with the city's blessing. That's what we need to have before we start raising any money.
All right.
So that's what we hope happens on the 20th of June.
Any other questions, or we'll look forward to, go ahead.
Well, I just first want to say thank you. I think it's just a tremendous project, and regarding some of the logistics, I think it's just a matter of us being involved in some of the planning. Regarding the donation, you just saw us, maybe that was right before you came in, we accepted a donation of some money for AED. City Council, as long as you're aware that you're taking on the responsibility. But beyond that, we have to think a little bit about some things like insurance, and I think the city has a policy that would cover volunteers working out there. And then bidding requirements, if there's something that we need to do, the logistics, is it an entity that's turning over a turnkey project to us, or if we have to go through some bidding requirements on our part to work with you? And I think those are just details that we just need to dot the right. I's as far as the legalities are concerned.
That's a good point. Again, because it's not taxpayer dollars that you're required to probably follow the normal processes, hopefully Leathers would be the contact, so maybe
we just need to figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm sure they've got that done. So that's a great point there. Very good point.
But awesome project. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, thanks. Yes. Mr. Mayor,
I'd just like to make a couple comments too. When Dave came to me with this idea, the first thing I told him that he needed to do was get to the council. I suggested that he bring it to council, to Public Works, Public Safety, and Mr. Christensen's committee, because it does impact what's happening out at Robbins Island, and a lot of that stuff has gone through there. So Dave and I had an early conversation probably about 8 weeks ago, at which time I told him to get in touch with the council, and I just left it up to him. And so just to reiterate what Dave has said is that no decisions have been made on where this is going. No decisions have been made on design. There have been no decisions. What I told him at the time is that we have to get to the council, get council approval, and so if there's a feeling that there's been all kinds of deals cut, that's not true. And as a matter of fact, you know, Dave, I did tell you need to get to council right away with it. So that's what we're trying to do, is get in front of the council as early as possible. And this is a tremendous project, a tremendous opportunity for us to really embrace this project that will bring kids into our community. And I think back to the first Vision 2040 meeting that we had at the fire station, and Kevin Halliday was the chair of it at that time, and there was a group of people that wanted to work on this. And it's been kind of sitting there since then, until Dave kind of kicked it off the shelf again when the park plan came out. So the park plan calls for about a $200,000 park, and the numbers that Dave is talking about are considerably over that, so it's a considerable larger footprint. And so we went down and met with SRF just to see if it would fit onto the site. And so that was the reason we went and met with them, just to make sure that they were involved, because they're the ones that helped us. So we're getting to the council, or Dave is getting to the council early, because he wants your input. And again, the committee has not made any decisions as to where it's going to be, what it's going to be, anything like that. And I think Dave's been very clear in that, but I just want to reiterate that. And this is a tremendous opportunity to pull this community together. And it's going to not only be the able-bodied kids, but also those that are less fortunate. We'll have some diversity in it, have the Wi-Fi piece for communication, just a lot of great things. And this will be a tremendous day. June 20th will be a great day, because on June 20th also is when Blue Cross Blue Shield is going to unveil their plan for the city as well. So it'll be a very good day in the future of Willmar to attend. First, we'll attend the Blue Cross Blue Shield event, and then to have your staff come and present this plan for what's going to happen potentially at Robbins Island if the council agrees. So thank you so much for the work that you put into this. This is a tremendous project. So thanks for your undertaking.
Yeah, you bet. And again, our committee is has a lot of diversity on the committee as well. We have Somalians and Latinos and young families and some seniors.
Even an old guy.
Did I point at him? I wasn't sure of that. But anyway, it's going to be, I think, a fun deal. And I think the only reason I wanted to do this again is just the feeling that I had when I was done with the Spicer one is hard to describe. The amount of pride I had when we really literally all lived there for a week, and many of us leaders did. It was so much fun, and it was done at such a high quality playground when we're all said and done. I just think Willmar needs one of these really bad. So
I'd just like to make a comment that thank you too, because I know you've been passionate about this. I was at the meetings when you originally talked about it, and just want you to know my comments here are hopefully that we will cross the T's and dot the
absolutely,
I's to
yes.
find a way to get this done.
Right.
So that's my reason
yep.
for asking those questions.
Those are great questions.
Look forward to hearing your presentation on the 20th. So thank you.
Thank you.
Any comments you'd like to make? You've been working on this.
Nope, I'm good. I'm excited about it. You know,
okay.
I don't have any kids or anything, but I've lived here for, I didn't grow up in Willmar, but I've lived here for about 15 years, and that park is just amazing and underutilized. And I think that starting with this, that's the first thing. You know, you get people starting to go there, and then what it can become, I think, is really exciting.
Okay. Any other comments?
Well, Dave, thanks. You know, we
yeah.
should be thanking and applauding you for what you're doing. I love your enthusiasm. I think it's great, and I hope the enthusiasm is going to be there with the community. I think you have it. As we talked on the phone, we talked about building community pride and getting people involved and getting to know your neighbors. This is a community project, and I think that's what you're trying to accomplish, and I support it 100%. I don't know if we need to come up with a motion here to support this or move it forward. As a token of approval, if that would be prudent. I think it would be, and I'd so move that the City Council support the concept of this project moving forward and work with the committees to bring it to fruition.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Do we want to include in that the agenda, get it to the City Council on the agenda? For the 20th, or are you good with where you're
I can,
at?
We can add that to it. As
would that be helpful?
That we have them come to the
okay.
City Council meeting.
All right. Do you want to read that back to us? Are you good?
I'm good.
All right. Is everyone okay with the motion and the second? All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right.
Thank you very much. No, I appreciate that. And again, a good clarification. If I'm there doing state stuff, we can call a representative, but this is just Dave Baker, because
okay.
I've been doing this. This is. I really want to not cross that line at all. I want to make sure that's clear. This is just something I've been doing a long time. So anyway, but I just want to appreciate clearing that up. So.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. Anything else on the agenda?
Oh, curious. Madam Chair, I'm wondering if we can bring up old items on the agenda. I was curious if we had in the report or if staff looked at the concern that I had people express on the Minnegasco Park on the Trout Avenue West. If there's been any, if you looked into that as far as traffic concerns.
You have to remind me of the concerns again.
The safety concerns from almost being hit by vehicles on Minnegasco.
We haven't had, you don't recall any reports of people being hit or safety concerns.
Accidents?
Or
I don't.
Accident reports, vehicle reports, accident reports.
I don't recall.
Are you talking about Trot or are you talking about
the railroad right off of Trot Avenue, the brought up here a few weeks back, concerns I had in that area.
16th Street.
Minnesota and 16th, yes, where the traffic, kids coming across both directions to that park. I noticed at Rice Park downtown, or over here, we have a short fence, about 3-4 feet tall, to kind of direct children and encourage them to use the gateways that go in and out of that facility. In case to help relieve a traffic accident or an accident for a child across the street.
Where the tennis courts are
and where the playground equipment is, there's a fence that runs parallel east and west. Yes, mm-hmm. And part of that area, and I'm not sure if that was due to traffic or not. If that's something we should be considering, but.
I think
I thought staff was going to look at that concern based on traffic accidents at the intersection, the amount of people using that park.
The fact that we don't have any traffic accidents to go off of, it's kind of hard to do much research on it. I can tell you that because of the overlay project coming to Minnesota Avenue, those trees are no longer there, as this picture shows. So visibility has definitely increased. But we can monitor the area. I think the visibility may have been one of the bigger issues. If that was the case, with those trees not being there, I think we're in good shape. Is that where the new park equipment is?
When I drove by there the other day, for some reason I was thinking it was set back further. But
yeah, the picture is not. This is just a Google image is.
Do we have children at play signage in that area?
I don't think so. I don't think we have it on any of the parks.
We don't?
There are no signs there.
Let me look at the GIS map and see if that picture looks any different.
Well, I don't want to take the committee's time. I just wanted to see if there's any follow-up on my request from the citizens.
While he looks at that, is there any other old business? Any other questions?
I have one other comment, and that's regarding the stormwater issues that we addressed at the City Council meeting and also at this previous meeting on the idea or the opportunity to work with the school district to see if we can increase our stormwater retention ponds over on Ditch 23A, close where the new elementary school is going to be built, and if there's any interest from this committee to work with them on that, or if Sean has an idea or a possibility that we should be doing it, because now is the time before it's developed and completed.
I thought Mr. Christensen had addressed and answered that at the City Council meeting.
No, it was not really. Sean, I think he gave us two points. It's not part of the school project, and there has been no participation or contact or formal discussions with proceeding with an idea or concept.
Madam Chair, that's not exactly what I said. What I said was that we have had continual conversations with the school, and there are ponds in place for that facility, as well as that back into Ditch 23. So those conversations are continuing to take place.
All right. I guess my question is, Madam Chair and Sean, is there any possibility that we can increase their storage retention area in cooperation with the school district, since they're going to be putting the retention ponds, so we can stop our flooding coming from the stormwater flooding that we have coming down 23A and also up by the Holiday Inn area in Pheasant?
Yeah, and it's and again, as I mentioned, it's not going to, the area that they take care of here is not going to help the stuff up at Holiday Inn. That's a completely separate issue, when we are taking care of that separately.
Okay, so that issue will be addressed. So
those two are separate items, and he's addressed that the school is dealing with that, and the other one doesn't flow this direction.
It flows this direction, but it's already in the ditch before the school
before
area
that.
Can take care of it. That's correct.
So we're on top of both of those, and we addressed those other issues back there before that plat was redone, correct?
For the school.
No, we added some more houses on that one section that's private.
Yes, that's taken care of
based
on the original drainage plan. That's correct.
And the other issue was addressed also.
Yep.
Yes.
And then the city's taking care of the other issue up along near Dairy Queen. We're taking care of one of the issues there as well.
Okay.
Well, I just wanted to address those issues on stormwater because the people behind Valley Golf Course, like I mentioned, have water coming up to their windows on their split level homes. And I wanted to follow through with what they asked and requested. And I also remember about a year ago, I asked about cleaning out ditch 23 through the Valley Golf Course or deepening or widening and taking out all the vegetation, which is restricting the flow of water, I think, running through that area. And it has not been cleaned up for many years. I just wonder if you have a report on that, Sean, or if you know what we should do there.
Yeah, Madam Chair, as I've mentioned here not too long ago, we're not going to remove the vegetation in that ditch because it doesn't restrict the flow more than it actually prevents prevents erosion down the ditch banks, so the vegetation has to be there. The volume itself in ditch 23 is sufficient and has been cleaned out. I don't remember the exact year, but not been too long ago, and we continually monitor that ditch.
Okay, well, there's reports from the people there, Sean, that there's over 2 feet of sediment in some of those ditches, and the culverts are almost blocked. So I'm just wondering if anybody's actually gone out there and looked at it. And there's vegetation that was never grown there before 10, 15 years ago that is growing now. And I can't help but think that that type of vegetation would restrict the flow. And I'm just curious if we're going to do anything about it or not.
We can look into dipping out that ditch, but the vegetation's got to stay.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
I would just like to request that the minutes reflect the discussion on the different ones and the answers that were given. I think this is the second or third time we've had the same conversation. So, any other issues to come before?
Move to adjourn.
All right, motion to adjourn. Thank you.